can. Are y'all up and ready to go? Are they up?
I'm back. I heard something. I'm sorry if I'm not supposed to respond right now, but I heard something.
Yeah, I just want to make sure to, and then Councilmember Fontaine, are you up?
Yes, sir. I'm up and ready to rock and roll.
Okay, over. That's good. Okay, that being said, everybody's comfortable, and the time is 6:43, and we're back into session with the City Council meeting. We'll proceed on to item number 8, which is old business number 1, discuss and consider approving an order of a general election to be held on November 3rd, 2020 for the purpose of electing a mayor and council member place 4 for a 3-year term, 2020 to 2023, for the city of Harker Heights, Texas, and take the appropriate action. City Secretary.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. On February 11, 2020, the City Council ordered an election be held on May 2nd, 2020 for the purpose of electing a mayor and council member for place 4. On March 24th, the council approved by ordinance to postpone the May 2nd election until November 3rd in accordance to a proclamation issued on March 18th by Governor Greg Abbott in response to the concern with COVID-19. The governor's proclamation allows political subdivisions that would otherwise hold their elections on May 2nd to move their general election to November 3rd without otherwise adjusting the term of office. The term of office for both the mayor and council member place 4 will still end May of 2023. The deadline to order an election is August 17th, so I have before you an order of election that is needing your approval to conduct the general election on November 3rd for the purpose of electing a mayor and council member place 4. I'll be happy to answer any questions the council may have.
Okay, any questions for the city secretary? Hearing none, this is old business. Do I have a motion? Councilmember Ryder.
Yes, Mayor, I make a motion to approve an order for a general election to be held on November 3rd, 2020 for the purpose of electing a mayor and council member place 4 for a 3-year term, 2020 through 2023 for the city of Harker Heights, Texas.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Nicholas.
I second that, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
It's Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place 1, how do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, place 1. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place 4, how do you vote?
Councilman Ryder, place 4, votes yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place 5, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place 5, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And motion passes unanimously 5-0. Okay, next item under old business number 2, discuss and consider approving a contract with the election officer of Bell County, Texas to conduct a joint election on November 3rd, 2020. For the purpose of electing a mayor and council member place 4 for the city of Harker Heights, Texas, and authorize the city manager to sign the agreement on behalf of the city and take the appropriate action. City Secretary.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Julie Helsham, City Secretary again. All political subdivisions holding an election in November are required to use county election precincts in all county polling places on election day. In Bell County, there will be 6 early voting locations and a total of 41 polling locations on election day. Bell County has adopted a countywide polling place system that allows Bell County voters to vote at any polling location in the county on election day. On your screen is a calendar for the early voting dates and times that will be conducted at the 6 early voting locations. Next slide, please. Early voting will be from October 13th to October 30th, and Election Day will be November 3rd, and will be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. The next 3 slides will show you all 41 polling locations throughout Bell County Harker Heights will have a total of 3 polling sites available for voters on Election Day. By having a joint election, Bell County has budgeted to cover the cost of all necessary election supplies, which includes ballots, ballot boxes, voting booths, all necessary machines and equipment, renting polling locations, and provide the election judges and clerks for all locations. The only cost the city will be responsible for would be related to the ballot language and programming fees. Staff is recommending a joint election with Bell County on November 3rd, and I will be available to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for the city secretary? Okay, thank you. I do have a motion from the council. Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I make a motion to approve a contract with the Election Office of Bell County, Texas, to conduct a joint election on November 3rd, 2020, for the purpose of electing a mayor and city council member, place 4, for the city of Harker Heights, Texas, and authorize the city manager to sign the agreement on the behalf of the city.
Okay, thank you. Mrs. Nicholas.
I second that, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, votes yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place 1, how do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, place 1, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place 4, how do you vote?
Councilman Ryder, place 4, votes yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place 5, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place 5, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Motion passes unanimously, 5-0. Next item on the agenda, number 9, new business. Number 1, discuss and consider approving a request by Alex Jarbo for a concept plan approval of the Escapeology Edition for the proposed development on property described as a 7.07-acre tract of land situated in the Lucy Odell Survey, abstract number 644, generally located northeast at the intersection of East Knights Way, East FM 2410, and Cedar Knob Road, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, and take the appropriate action. Planning and Development Director.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. This is Joseph Melise, Director of Planning and Development for the City of Harker Heights. The next two agenda items are for the same piece of property, and as you'll recall, they follow our development process where normally you would go through zoning, but this property is already appropriately zoning. So now we're in the platting phase of development. And prior to plat approval, the applicant must receive concept plan approval for their property. And so that's the first case tonight, is to look at their concept plan where they're requesting approval of the aforementioned 7.07 acres. From this slide, you can see that the property is near the intersection of Cedar Knob Road and East Knights Way on the north side of the property. What's not really apparent on this slide, but maybe on the next slide, is that there is some significant terrain differential between the front of the property and the back of the property. So when we get to the concept plan, you'll see that they're really only developing the front of the property, because the rest of it is relatively difficult to develop, if even developable at all. So that being said, staff did meet with the applicant, and we had the typical development process where they submitted the concept plan, which I believe is on the next slide. And if you'll go one more, it'll zoom in to the actual developable part of the property, where they submitted the concept plan, and staff made comments regarding the required zoning and potential code requirements of the property, in which the applicant did meet our requirements. As you can see from this concept plan, they are following the requirements of the Knights Way Overlay District, in which they are located. There is an existing sidewalk on 2410, but they are showing their sidewalk connection to their building all the way to 2410. As you can see, they do have the separated parking with the landscaped islands breaking up the parking lot. And what's not apparent in this slide, but we have in the site plan for the internal schematic of the building, is they actually have double entry. So the north side of the building and the south side of the building are both entrances, and so that's why there is significant parking in the back of the building. And again, that was actually kind of the idea of the Knights Way overlay, is to not push all the buildings all the way to the back of the property. And so this applicant has worked very well with the city in developing in with that in mind. Also shown on this concept plan is that there is an access easement, because there is property adjacent to them to the north that's connected through a small 14-foot access easement, and there's a dirt driveway going through there now. And so their concept plan kind of shows the outline of the dirt driveway, and what they've done is they've widened that to 41 feet and extended it all the way through to the northern property, so any future development on that property would have an adequate access back to 2410 East Knights Way. And so that being said, staff did recommend approval of the concept plan, as the applicant has met all the requirements within the code of ordinances for the concept plan. And on July 29th, the Planning and Zoning Commission voted unanimously to approve this concept plan as well. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Molise? Mr. Ryder.
Joseph, the 41 foot goes back to the back. You said the north of the property there. It doesn't go all the way. I mean, is there 40 foot, 41 foot?
Yes, Gary, if you'll go back one slide.
It doesn't have a...
You'll see the entire property there is kind of that seven shape. That hatch line goes all the way to the northern boundary.
Not going to be approved, but there'll be an easement there, 41 foot?
Yes, It won't be their responsibility to put a driveway. They just have access.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Molise? Okay, hearing none, it's new business to have a motion. Mrs. Nicholas.
I make a motion to approve a request by Alex Jarboe for concept plan approval for the proposed development on property described as a 7.07 acre tract of land situated in the Lucy Odell survey, abstract number 644, generally located northeast at the intersection of East Knights Way, EFM 2410. And Cedar Knob Road, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Blomquist.
It's Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one, how do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, place one, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place four. How do you vote?
Councilman Ryder, place four, votes yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously, 5-0. Next item under nine, item two, discuss and consider approving a request by Alex Jarboe for preliminary plat approval of Escapeology addition on property described as a 7.07 acre tract of land situated in the Lucy Odell survey, abstract number 644, generally located northeast at the intersection of East Knights Way, East FM 2410. And Cedar Knob Road, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, and take the appropriate action, Planning and Development Director.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. This is Joseph Molise, Director of Planning and Development for the City of Harker Heights. So this is the second phase of the platting process for this same piece of property, in which they're now seeking preliminary plat approval for this property. Again, this is the location along East Knights Way. As you can see, it's kind of that irregular shaped piece of property. And as we saw in the concept plan and in this aerial, the applicant is intending to develop the part of the property that's closer to the road. The next slide shows the actual plat. As you can see, they're platting it as one lot. And again, that's because they're really not going to be able to develop the north side of the property due to the terrain and the topology and the trees and so forth. The next slide will zoom in and kind of show you in more detail what's going on. It's also important to note on the north side of the property, they do have that 100-foot utility easement, which is that large Oncor electrical transmission line that bisects the city. So again, they point that out. The hatched vertical area is that access easement that we discussed in the concept plan, which gives the, at this point, single-family residents to the north continued access to 2410. And again, staff went through the review process with the applicant, and they either answered all of our questions or further questions would be answered in the permitting phase as far as the specifics on drainage and so forth and through the final plat. So that being said, staff does recommend approval of the preliminary plat, and the Planning and Zoning Commission did approve it 7-0 on July 29th. And I'll point out that it's got to be a preliminary plat because while they do have access to sewer on their property, they are going to have to bore under 2410 to get water to that property. So they're looking at some city infrastructure that will be have to be dedicated to the city, and thus they're in the preliminary slash final plat aspect of that. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Joseph, do we plan to put a fire hydrant on that side of the road then over there?
That would be a requirement of, and again, that's the part that goes through the development process. The way the fire code is issued and the way the fire marshal enforces that is that fire hydrants are placed as development occurs. Okay. So at this point, I don't believe there's a fire hydrant there, but once that building site location is finalized, that would be part of the comment is the fire marshal would do his analysis as to the number and placement of the fire hydrants, and at that point they would be placed.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Ryder.
Joseph, I'm looking at the aerial here on this project, that 41-foot road comes in. Has TxDOT already approved that curb cut? The reason why I'm asking is I noticed the adjoining property to the east. Looks like the curb cut's pretty close.
Yes, TxDOT has approved that location, and in fact, it's, you know, that was required because they had to make sure that the property to the north had access as well.
Okay. And then the TxDOT traffic count, is that something that they submit to you guys, the traffic study?
The applicant, yes, and in fact, that came up in the Planning and Zoning Commission is that, yes, more than likely TxDOT's going to require some type of traffic impact analysis. Now, whether or not, based on the development that's proposed, you know, if their initial calculations are fine and TxDOT accepts that, or whether or not TxDOT will require an actual engineered study would happen at the permitting phase. But yes, it's our understanding that if it's required, then the applicant would submit that documentation to us.
And then do you guys get a copy of that, or is that all between just the property?
No, we would get a copy of that for sure.
Okay. When does that process take place, just out of curiosity?
That process would take place either before the final plat process or during the permitting process.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions from the council? And Mr. Molisa, Mayor Smith, one thing I noticed in the supporting items that you had there, even though you said that the north and east property, because of the contour lines, that wouldn't be developed, but they understand that if there is something in the future, they'll definitely have to address that because of the potential impact on the neighboring property.
This is Joseph Molisa. That's absolutely correct. With commercial property, let's say they wanted to build another building, they wouldn't necessarily have to replat because you can have multiple commercial properties on the same building, but absolutely they would have to address issues with their neighboring properties, and that's why that we requested and they granted the passage easement. And I neglected to point out that it's not just a passage easement, it's actually a passage and utility easement. So that does give the property to the north the ability to reach utilities through to their property.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Molise? Okay, back to the council for a motion. Mr. Ryder.
Yes, Mayor, I make a motion to approve a request by Alex Jarboe for preliminary plat approval on property described as 7.07 acre tract of land situated in the Lucio Dale Survey, abstract number 644, generally located northeast of the intersection of East Knights Way, East FM 2410, and Cedar Knob Road, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second that, Mayor. This is Jennifer McCann, Place 1.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I had one quick question on a different thought. You said that the north property there had also utility easements as well with, is that correct, Joseph?
Okay, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist, yes. So the property to the north is a single family residence. And so as part of this plat, we requested that the applicant grant a passage and utility easement through their property. And so that's what that vertical hatched line is. So I'm honestly not sure where the existing, you know, lateral line, the water service line is to that property, but should at a future point somebody want to develop that property, they would have the ability to run water and or sewer through that easement as well as a driveway. And so that's the purpose of that hatched easement, is to give that adjacent property access to utilities into the road.
So they already have utilities up there, because I remember you talking about they were going to have to bore under the road to get to the water line.
Yes, so the property to the north has a water...
it's a small line, probably.
Yes, and so, and this is Joseph Melise again, sorry. Absolutely, and as part of our fire code, a commercial structure needs at least an 8-inch water line, and that is not what feeds that property. So they would have to bring an 8-inch across, which is what's necessary to support a fire hydrant and or a fire suppression system.
All right, thank you.
Okay, any other questions for Mr. Molise? Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, Place 1, how do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, Place 1, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, Place 4, how do you vote?
Councilman Ryder, Place 4, votes yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, Place 5, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, Place 5, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And a motion and the measure passes unanimously, 5-0. Item number 3, under new business, discuss and consider approving a request from Cassandra Flores for a facility rental at the Harker Heights Community Park Pavilion for an event in excess of 10 people on Sunday, August 16th, 2020, and take the appropriate action. Parks and Recreation Director.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. This is Jeff Ashay, Parks and Recreation Director. On July 2nd, 2020, Governor Greg Abbott issued a proclamation giving mayors and county judges the ability to impose restrictions on some outdoor gatherings over 10 people. Outdoor gatherings in excess of 10 people that are not specifically granted by the governor is prohibited unless the mayor of the city in which the gathering is held or the council in this instance approves the gathering, and such approval can be made subject to certain conditions or restrictions. So in accordance with this directive, Cassandra Flores is seeking approval for a request to rent the Harker Heights Community Park Pavilion on Sunday, August 16th from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. It says here for a group of approximately 60 people. She did contact me today, and it's going to be 48. So they got the RSVPs. This is for a baby shower. You'll see their application for outdoor facility rental on the next two pages after this. And in going through this, we do monitor the minimum standard health protocols. We make sure that they have this information. And included in that is four questions for evaluating gatherings that they consider large, which are exceeding 10 individuals at this point. First is the overall number of projected attendees, which is 48 total. The likelihood of individuals over the age of 65 attending, and just FYI, I did talk to Cassandra to get these answers. There's only one over the age of 65. The density of the forum and the ability to ensure social distancing of 6 feet between individuals. And according to Mrs. Flores, they will be doing activities where they can stay with those that they're already in contact with. So if they're providing activities for attendees, they will be participating in close proximity with family members or someone that they're already in close proximity with in their regular life. So the last is the level of transmission in the county, and obviously that information is provided to you by Bell County. So with that being said, I will answer any questions that you have.
Okay, Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Mr. Shea, if we grant this, I know we've done one in the past, is the city absolved by any possible, if anybody comes down with COVID, by us approving this event?
So we essentially let people know that it's much like our playground use and restroom use and things like that, that we do what we can to prevent them from, to try our best to prevent them from coming down with the virus, but that obviously it's not guaranteed and it's essentially use at your own risk.
Mr. Mitchell, you have anything to add to that?
This is City Manager David Mitchell, and Council, I think you have very, very limited liability, if any at all, in regards to this. I mean, what you're putting before them, I think it's good that it's coming before you, and it's good that Jeff and his staff do what they do as far as we're giving them the best practices, and we're strongly telling them you need to follow these best practices if you're going together. If one of them decides to violate that, they do it on their own. The cities are immune to a lot of those things, particularly if we're giving them good advice. We're giving them the best advice we have for how they should gather. So I think there's very limited, if any, liability to the city.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions for the Parks and Recreation Director? Okay, hearing none, it's back to the council. Do I have a motion?
Yes, Mayor,
may I make a motion?
Phase 3, I would like to move to approve the request for an outdoor facility rental at the Harker Heights Community Park Pavilion for an event in excess of 10 people on Sunday, August 16, 2020.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Fontaine. Did I have a second over the telephone?
Mayor, I'd like to, yes. Mayor, I'd like to second. This is Jennifer McCann, place one.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one, how do you vote?
Jennifer McCann, place one, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place four, how do you vote?
Councilman Ryder, place four, votes yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the item passes unanimously 5-0. Okay, moving on to new business item number four, discuss and consider approving a request from Vince Dye for a facility rental at the Carl Levin Park Pavilion in Harker Heights, Texas, for an event in excess of 10 people on Thursday, September 3rd, and take the appropriate action. Parks and Recreation Director.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. This is Jeff Ashay, Parks and Recreation Director. In accordance with the same directive from the last item, Vince Dye is seeking approval for a request to rent the Carl Levin Park Pavilion on Thursday, September 3rd, 2020, from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. For a group of approximately 80 people. This is for, if you look at their application for facility rental, this is for a FRG fundraiser and an HHC org day, which is typically a military function where soldiers would bring their families. Mr. Dye did let me know that this will only be soldiers. They are not allowing families. It's going to be a pretty quick award ceremony, and I think that they're going to be grilling and doing some quick stuff. They are under order to wear masks, so they have to wear masks during this event. So they do expect to have just under 80 people. There are zero individuals over the age of 65 that are expected to attend. And again, they are under order to wear masks. It's a quick cookout, is what Mr. Dye said about it, an award ceremony. And they will be bringing their own cleaning supplies to clean the facility once they are finished as well. So with that, I will be able to answer any questions you have.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for the Parks and Recreation Director?
No, sir.
Okay, hearing none, do I have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion. Mayor, this is Jennifer McCann, place one. I'd like to make a motion to approve the request for an outdoor facility rental at the Carl Levin Park Pavilion for an event in excess of 10 people on Thursday, September the 3rd, 2020.
Thank you, Mr. Ryder.
I'll second that motion, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one, how do you vote?
Jennifer McCann, place one, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place four, how do you vote?
Councilman Ryder, place four, votes yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously, 5-0. Item number five, discuss and consider approving a request from Clarence Rollins for a facility rental at Carl Levin Park Pavilion in the city of Harkrides, Texas, for an event in excess of 10 people on Friday, August 14th, and take the appropriate action. Parks and Recreation Director.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. This is Jeff Ashe, Parks and Recreation Director. In accordance with that same directive, Clarence Rollins is seeking approval for a request to rent the Carl Levin Park Pavilion. They did change the date, and it is August 29th, 2020, from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. They did that yesterday, so we'll just need to make sure when we make a motion that it is the 29th instead of the 14th. This is for a group of approximately 50 people. This is for a basketball banquet where they, again, expect 50 people, no one over age 65, and it is an award ceremony where they are ensuring that there are no activities that bring people within 6 feet of one another. They're going to have folks that are there stationed away from one another. So I did want to make sure I mentioned that all of these renters have been notified that obviously things can change between the time that this is approved and their rental, which is something that we discussed at the last council meeting. So I did want to reiterate that, but I can answer any other questions that you may have.
Okay, any questions for Parks and Recreation Director? Okay, hearing none, do I have a motion? Yeah, Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I make a motion to approve the request for an outdoor facility rental at the Carl Levin Park Pavilion for an event in excess of 10 people on Friday, August 29, 2020.
Okay, thank you, Mrs. Nicholas.
I second that, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one, how do you vote?
Jennifer McCann, place one, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place four, how do you vote?
Councilman Ryder, place four, votes yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously, 5-0. Item number six, receive and discuss the fiscal year 2020-2021 budget. Assistant Finance Director.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. This is Aisha Lealiee, Assistant Finance Director. In front of you, you should have the draft fiscal year 2021 budget in a black binder. The city's annual budget retreat is going to be scheduled for Friday, this coming Friday, August 14th, at City Hall. Your proposed FY 2021 budget is balanced and maintains the current tax rate of 0.6770 per $100 valuation. The city's proposed rate is currently higher than the no new revenue rate of 0.6391. and lower than the voter approval rate of 0.6978. Senate Bill 2, also known as the Texas Property Tax Reform and Transparency Act of 2019, amended the tax code section 26.05D, which changed the requirement of having two public hearings for the tax rate to just having one. And so below, you will see a tentative schedule for the rest of this year with the budget retreat this Friday, a vote on the preliminary tax rate on the 25th, excuse me, at which time, once that's set, the council can't approve anything that's higher than that tax rate. We would be able to do anything lower, but nothing higher, or that tax rate itself. The budget public hearing and adoption is scheduled for September 8th. Ratification of the tax increase is also scheduled for September 8th, as well as the fee schedule adoption. And then the tax rate public hearing and adoption is for September 22nd currently. And since we'll have a full discussion on the budget on Friday, which will give you enough time to actually look through the book and think of any questions you may have, I just want to go through it really quick and let you know how it's set up so that as you look through it, you'll be able to know what you're kind of looking at. I did want to just take a quick second just to recognize my staff for helping me in getting this all together. So they were a big help for me this year. So your first tab is the budget message and budget at a glance. That's just going to go over the different sections and kind of what we went through in getting the budget together. Your next section is the 3195 statement and calendar. You might remember that the House Bill 3195 is a requirement. It was passed during the 80th legislative session. And this year it states that this budget will raise more total property taxes than last year's budget by $1,056,676, or 8.4%. And of that amount, $311,799 is tax revenue to be raised from new property added to the tax roll this year. excuse me, I do want to remind you that the tax increase that this states is not due to the raise in the tax rate. As I said a moment ago, this budget is proposed with the same tax rate as last year. So that increase is just due to the higher property values. And then behind that statement is your budget and tax calendar that just breaks down everything that, those same dates that I went over. The dates that are in red are the dates that you are going to be in attendance, hopefully, for. The next tab is a new tab that I put in here. It's the historical information. I put in here the outside agency payments. The amount that we've paid in we've received in hotel motel tax revenue, and behind that are the requests for outside agency funding, and right behind their request is the letter that we sent them last year. I know a couple of council members requested that we include that during the budget retreat last year, so that is in here for your review this year. Then you'll have the budget summaries, which includes all of the funds and personnel, which is something that you're familiar with as well. Then is the general fund section. I do want you to turn to the last page, which is 21 in general fund. Excuse me. And I just wanted to point out on that one that I've taken out the INS portion of the debt of the tax rate, tax receipts, sorry, as well as the debt payments, and put that with our debt service fund, which is your next tab. So if you look at page 2 behind debt service, I've created a long range projection for that, and that will be where your tax receipts are, as well as the debt payments. Formerly, that was in your general fund long-range plan. Now it's separated into a debt service long-range plan. After that tab, you have your fixed asset fund that shows you the proposed purchases by departments. And then your capital projects fund, which also shows you the proposed projects for the upcoming year. Again, we are kind of keeping it a little tight just because we don't know what's going to happen, but we did include a lot of major projects this year, including the ones for Drainage Master Plan. If you look at page 2, I've changed up the long-range plan for capital projects. Pages 2 and 3 is the summary of all your funds and all your projects, or all your funding sources. Page 4 is just your non-bond revenues. So that's going to show you all your projects and revenues for your non-bond income. Page 7 is going to start your 2018 certificates, the revenue from that, and the projects that are associated with that. And it's just the expenses that are coming out of that 2018 bond. And same thing for page 8. That's going to be your 2019 certificates. And that is also just your 2019 revenue. And then the expenses that are coming out of those proceeds. All right. Then all the other funds, the utility, sanitation, drainage, all are the same as in previous years. There's no major changes to those. Your hotel motel fund, the last page in there. Again, we always include for you the information on the hotel tax two-step, as TML likes to call it. So I've included their most recent article on that. And then, of course, we'll end that up with the restricted courts fund, excuse me, employee benefits fund, and then the fee schedule. And your last page on your fee schedule is that comparison of the other cities. That lets you see how our water bill compares to our surrounding cities. And just to give you a quick note, we aren't proposing any water, sewer, drainage, or sanitation increases. So, and if you have any questions that you'd like to ask tonight, be happy to answer them.
Okay, Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. On that last page there for the utility bill comparison.
Yes, sir.
This doesn't take into consideration like their fees they charge now. Some like our neighboring city of Killeen, fee charges. Yeah.
This is Aishalelia. No, sir. Does not like the. Well, this does include like Killeen's street maintenance fee. If you look on page 18, it does include the $1.70 street maintenance fee. Let's see.
If you look at the subtotal. I'm just basically asking so you can compare apples to apples as opposed to fees that they tack on in addition to the actual rates.
Yeah, and that's the only one that we did include in this was that $1.70.
Okay, because they do have other ones as well.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Ryder.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. I think it's important to pull that up, too, because there's one in particular I don't see in here, unless I'm overlooking it. It's I think they call it an impervious drainage fee or something. It's runoff water, whatever. It's an extremely expensive fee. I mean, incredibly high. If you can obtain that would be great. And if not, I might help you out on that because I get a lot of them.
We'll definitely, this is Aisha. Again, we'll definitely look into that.
Any other questions from the council? Okay, Mr. Mitchell.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is David Mitchell, City Manager, and I just wanted to repeat what Aisha said, but also thanks to Aisha and her staff for the hard work on this. They kind of did that, as I've mentioned to you before. They've been a little strapped on staff as well, done a really good job of putting the document together. And you've seen the little changes that Aisha brought up tonight are kind of some things that she's bringing to that to kind of help make the document a little easier to read. I do want to point out to Council in your budget at a glance on page 7. Because this question always comes up, Mr. Ryder, point at you. There is what one penny does on our rate up or down is listed on that page, and that has changed a little bit since we originally talked about that many years ago. It's basically $197,200 per cent right now. So. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the council? I had one comment here. As we look into this thing, as y'all read the paper, there are a lot of different things going on with other municipal governments as they go through this in the area, as well as the county government. And I think one thing that you can't compare apples to oranges in that. So Harker Heights is unique, and specifically the bottom of page one on the letter to the mayor and the council, and again the bar graph, which continues to increase on page two. That's really what makes Harker Heights really different. So if people got a question about us, what our ad valorem tax rate is, that's a good synopsis right there. Also, just a question on number six. Do we need to have the council vote on this, or we're just receiving this from her, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, Mayor. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, good. Any other questions from the council? Okay, good. Thank you very much. We look forward to the retreat.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, next item are reports of advisory boards and commissions. Okay, I see none.
That's correct, Mayor.
Okay, item number 11, items from the council. Do we have anything? Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Real quickly, just want to say the farmer's market is starting to get a little bit better now. We got the folks are able to cook out there, so there's some vendors out there that were cooking this past Saturday. So I'd encourage you to come out and take a look. And they promised me that the Yaki vendor would be there this next Saturday. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Okay, moving on. Item 12, staff reports. Receive and discuss the city manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Council, you have a copy of your city manager's report, and since we made you do a lot of heavy lifting and unboxing of things tonight, I'm going to be very brief. I will point out just one thing on the city manager's report. I'll let you read it on your own, Council, but the fire department gave us an update on the COVID-19 mobile testing at the First Baptist Church, which is at 100 East Ruby Road. Those testing dates were August the 6th for walk-ups and August the 7th for drive-through. On Thursday, August the 6th, we had 110 walk-ups, and on Friday, August the 7th, 227 did utilize the drive-through service for that testing. So just wanted to point that out. Jerry and I looked earlier today at where they were located across the state. They've got a map on the governor's site, and I don't think within an hour's drive there was one. So that was a really good thing to have it here, the mobile testing. There's places you can get tested locally, but the mobile testing sites are about an hour drive from us at this point. Council, you want to point out you have a couple sheets there. You have an invitation to the Nolan Middle School ribbon cutting, as well as you have your Fort Hood Fast Facts provided by HOTDA. And that concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for the city manager? Okay, and just to piggyback on the city manager there, if you get a chance, I left a phone message for the pastor there at First Baptist Church, just to thank him for providing that facility. That was a perfect spot to be able to have that. And Mr. Mitchell, do you have anything else?
Just one more thing, Mayor, I'm sorry. You do have one other sheet there that Julie is reminding me of here. It is a note from our funding, our agreement with on the DAG funding on the road bypasses over there on the other side, or closer to Copper's Cove, other side of Fort Hood. Just want to make sure, I got cold on me, and then it was brought up today that the DAG's coming back around, and this is the project they're going out for, and they appreciated all the communities and our commitments. Just want to make sure y'all are reminded, just like I was today, that we did make a prior commitment on that, and we do have that in the budget. So.
Okay, thank you. Okay. I think we earned our nickel today. Time being 7:33, we're adjourned.
Can I get my overtime slip?
Have a good night, y'all.
This conference is no longer being recorded.